Thank you. Let's pray. God, we need you. God, would you open our eyes and open our hearts to what you have to say to us today? And God, would you do for us, God, what we cannot do for ourselves? And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of today's message is Daily Bread. If you have your Bibles, Matthew chapter 6, starting with verse 7. And when you pray, do not use vain repetition as the heathen do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you need before you ask. In this manner, therefore, pray, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. This passage is the opening portion of what we know is the Lord's Prayer, Jesus teaching to his disciples on how to pray. But before we dig into the words, we know that Jesus taught that it was always far more important the condition of our heart than the words of our mouth. That unless our hearts and our words were in alignment, we would just be speaking into the air. In Mark chapter 7, verse 6, well did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites. As it is written, this people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And in Mark chapter 12, verse 40, Jesus talks about those whose hearts are corrupt, whose actions are corrupt, but they pray long prayers to look spiritual. And Jesus says, these are the ones who are really in trouble. See, prayer more than anything else is allowing God to reveal his truth to us. And then by his grace, taking that truth and aligning our hearts with it. And when that happens, the heavens begin to open up because now our hearts and his will are aligned. And we know what it says in 1 John 5. Now, this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And we know that he hears us. Whatever we ask, we know we have the petitions that we have asked of him. You know, in this passage, Jesus says to us, invites us to pray, give us this day our daily bread. So what is it that Jesus is wanting to teach us? What is the truth that he wants to reveal to us? Because on the surface, it looks like we are simply asking him to provide our next Big Mac or Chick-fil-A sandwich. And maybe because we live in America, or maybe because if we were honest, we really think that we're quite able to provide our next meal for ourselves, thank you. We allow our hearts to believe that this really isn't that important, that praying this is really just a formality. But if we really understood God's heart for us, if we understood what he was offering, the magnificence of what he was inviting us to ask, we would never again take this request lightly. Because Jesus wasn't just talking about food to fill our belly. He was talking about heavenly bread that can fill our soul and give life to our spirits. He was talking about a nourishment that has the power for us to overcome everything we could ever face in this life and lead us gloriously into the next. He's talking about living bread, a sustenance that only God can provide. A matter of fact, he's really talking about himself. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Then they said to him, Lord, give us this bread always. And Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. The first thing that I believe God wants to reveal to us today about this bread of God is that it is the bread for this day. Give us this day. See, as a foundation for everything that I'm going to say today, we need to understand and appreciate the preeminence that God places on the present. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Today is the day of salvation. Exhort one another while it is called today. See, so many people miss the life that God has for them this day, because while God is moving in the present, they are being held captive by the past or preoccupied with the future. Listen, God's daily bread, His provision for us, be it for our soul, body, mind, or spirit, has a here and now dynamic. But I promised you that yesterday and tomorrow are out to steal this day's bread. I want to take a minute to look at the manna that God provided the children of Israel in the wilderness, because this bread, in a lot of ways, is a foreshadowing of the living bread that Jesus Himself is providing for us today. Exodus 16, verse 4. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Look, I am going to rain down food from heaven for you. Each day the people can go out and pick up as much food as they need for that day. I will test them in this to see whether or not they will follow my instruction." For those of you who are not familiar, Moses, when he led the children of Israel out of Egypt and into the desert, God would provide for them miraculously their sustenance every day. He did this that as the dew would melt away, it would leave behind a flaky substance, a type of bread that they ended up calling manna, or what is it? But we know from David, actually in the Psalms, that what it was the bread of angels, the food of angels. But what was peculiar about this food, about this bread of angels, was that it had a one-day shelf life. In fact, if you were to try to eat yesterday's bread, you would find out that it bred worms and was completely worthless. Understand this. Here's this supernatural, heavenly bread, better than anything that had ever crossed man's lips, had nutrition like you couldn't believe. And yet it was only good. It could only provide life for this day. God's provision is for the present. See, many people forfeit this day's bread, the abundant life that God has for them, because they are living in the hurts, regrets, and disappointments of yesterday. See, others will walk by today's manna because their eyes are fixed on the cares of tomorrow. Listen, if we are consumed with what we've lost, if we're living in bitterness and regret, if we are burdened with the cares of tomorrow, it is impossible for us to receive the living bread that God has for us this day. But let me share something with you probably already know. That there are hurts, there are disappointments, there are mistakes, there are sins of yesterday that are impossible by man's standards and man's strength to overcome. And if we're honest with ourselves, as proud as we like to be and how we like to deny it, the human heart is always to given to worry and to care about the things of tomorrow. But here is the good news. The cross of Jesus Christ has the power to put to death all of the pain, all the sorrow, all the sins of yesterday. And it is able to free us from all the fear, all the bondages of what tomorrow may hold. See, praying for daily bread is really praying for the grace to see us truly freed from the sorrows, sins, and pains of yesterday. It's coming to God and say, "God, yeah, I can't get over it. It's not within me. But God, would you give me this day my daily bread? Would you lead me past yesterday and into the bread of life that you have for me this day?" You know, there's another thing. Some people are missing out on what God has for them today not because they are living in the troubles and sorrows of yesterday, but because they are trapped by the blessings of yesterday. See, there is a primary reason why God did not allow the children of Israel to hoard up the manna. And it was so that they would never forget that their supply, their abundance, was not in the provision. It was in the provider. See, regardless of how good the blessings are that God gives us, spiritual, physical, emotional, the moment our confidence shifts from the giver of the gift to the gift itself, we begin to rob ourselves of the bread that God has for us this day. There's another issue of the heart that keeps us from the life that we could be experiencing, the bread that God has for us today. And that is our insatiable desire for more, better, different, and permanent. See, one of the greatest myths Satan has ever fostered is the belief that if I could have that, if I could get there, if this or that was different, if I was only a little more secure, then I could be content, then I could be fulfilled. So we spend our whole life chasing the wind, believing that it's the next thing, it's the next stage of life where I'm going to find nirvana. I mean, it starts young and it doesn't stop. When I get through school, when I get a job, when I get a better job, when I get a girlfriend, when I get a wife, when I get a kid, when I get past diapers, a house, a bigger house. And what happens is as we chase tomorrow, we never come to live in the joy of this day's bread. See, the truth is the human heart will always be in pursuit of the next thing. But what it will find out is that the next thing was always less satisfying than the last thing. But here is the good news that we have today, that God has something far better for you than the next thing. He has for you the real thing. He has for you the bread of life. And listen, it is always enough, and it is just what you needed. I want to look again at the manna that God provided in the wilderness and see how it speaks to the sufficiency of God's daily bread. Reading from Exodus again, 16, 14 through 16. When the dew evaporated, a flaky substance as fine as frost blanketed the ground. The Israelites were puzzled when they saw it. "What is it?" they asked each other. They had no idea what it was. And Moses told them, "It is the food the Lord has given you to eat. These are the Lord's instructions. Each household shall gather as much as it needs. Pick up 2 quarts for each person in your tent." And listen closely to these last 2 verses because they're going to preach. So the people of Israel did as they were told. Some gathered a lot, some only a little. But when they measured it out, everyone had just enough. Those who gathered a lot had nothing left over. Those who had gathered only a little had enough. Each family had just what it needed. I love this scripture because it puts daily bread, it tells us everything we need to know in 2 simple phrases. It is always enough and just what we needed. See, our hearts are inclined to believe that it is how much that we have that will determine our life, will determine how rich we truly are. And while in God's economy, it doesn't really matter if it's a little or a lot, if it is daily bread, it's always enough. See, we really, truly believe that there are limited requirements to have a fulfilled life. I mean, we don't need it all. But there are certain things we have to have. There are certain experiences. There's a certain level we have to reach in order to be satisfied. But God says this, if you are on the road that I have you on, you will always see the manna to pick up, and it will be everything you ever needed to live an abundant life. The Apostle Paul spoke of this in Philippians 4, He gives us such a beautiful testimony. But before I read the whole thing, I just want to read the few first words of what he says. He says, not that I was ever in need. Now, I have to call time out. Be like that commercial and say, hey, we got to go to instant replay here. This is Paul we're talking about. He's saying, not that I was ever in need. Paul, did you forget about what you just wrote a few pages back in 2 Corinthians chapter 11? Well, let me remind you. 5 different times the Jewish leaders gave me 39 lashes. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. 1 I spent a whole night and day adrift at sea. I traveled on many long journeys. I faced dangers from robbers and robbers. I faced danger from my own people, the Jews, as well as the Gentiles. I faced the danger in cities, in the deserts, and on the seas. And I faced dangers from men who claim to be believers and are not. I have worked long and hard and during sleepless nights. I've been hungry and thirsty. I have often gone without food. I have shivered in the cold without enough clothing to keep me warm. Paul, are you insane? Not that I have ever been in need. How can he say that? The answer is really simple. And it's this, that 2 Corinthians, Paul is giving us his circumstances. But in Philippians 4, he is giving us his testimony. See, it is not your circumstances that control your testimony. That power is in your testimony. So Paul says, not that I was ever in need, for I have learned how to be content with whatever I have. I know how to live on almost nothing or with everything. I have learned the secret of living in every situation, whether it is a full stomach or empty, whether plenty or little. For I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. See, Paul had learned that his joy and contentment wasn't determined by what was going on around him, but the power of Christ that was within him. See, listen, I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me. It's not a platitude. It's not a cliche. It's the testimony of those who have learned that Jesus, our daily bread, is always enough and just what we needed. Now, I have to go deep with you for a minute. Everyone in this life will realize at some point that the world is not enough. But far too few Christians ever realize that Jesus always is. See, and one of the main reasons of this is because we have never learned that knowing what the Bible says is not the same as actually learning it. See, Paul had to learn that he could do all things through Christ, which strengthened him. Well, how do you learn? By coming into situations, into circumstances, facing walls and giants that there is no way that you can overcome. That being there in your belief, but being there in your mind, but not quite being there in your heart. Where you have to pray to God, I believe, but help my unbelief. See, so many Christians get discouraged and give up, and they come into the things that are bigger than them. They're not where they're supposed to be. And they say, well, see, the Bible doesn't work. Not realizing that this was the moment of their chance or their chance to receive grace. That this is the moment for them to pray, God, give me this day your daily bread. Give me what I need, the only thing that will really sustain me, your strength, so that I can have as my testimony, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Amen. I hate to admit it, but I am at the point where I can say with David, I have been young and now I am old. And I've never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed baking bread. I'm not afraid to say that. But what I've learned in my life is that the amount of joy and blessing I have has had very little to do with how much I have or my circumstances. But rather, was I eating daily bread? You know, there was a time I remember in my early 20s, I had graduated from college, I had done a year in seminary, but to be honest, I really had no idea what God's blueprint for my life was. All I knew is that I was simply trying to love Jesus as best as I knew how and follow him in whatever he would have for me. And at the time, that meant working as a painter to pay the bills, barely, and working as a non-paid staff at a small church in Ann Arbor, Michigan, doing evangelism and college ministry. And at the time, there was someone who had a pretty strong influence in my life that thought they should take it upon themselves to tell me how I was throwing my life away. In fact, their exact words were, "You are nothing more than a 23-year-old loser." The funny thing was that maybe I should have been shaken or felt a certain way, but I really felt like I had never been more content or had more joy in my entire life because I was where I believed God wanted me to be. I remember one specific instance when I was sitting back in my recliner in my apartment, and the presence of God came on me so strong, I literally felt like I had crawled up in my Father's lap and he had wrapped his arms around me. I remember saying to myself, "I must be the most happy, most blessed man on the planet. I would not change my life with anyone." But here is the truth. It wasn't always like that. It is only a few years earlier where I was addicted to drugs, filled with anger, hate, bitterness, the definition of a raging soul who would have classified himself as the most miserable person on the planet. But one night, by God's grace and by the conviction of the Holy Spirit, I turned to Jesus. I repented of my sins. His blood washed me clean. And immediately at that point, he gave me a seat at his banqueting table. For the first time, I tasted what that heavenly bread was like. I had experienced a joy, a love, a peace, a power that I never knew existed. And I don't know what this man thought I should have been chasing after, but to this day, I have never found anything more worth pursuing than daily bread. But back to Ann Arbor, because God had some manna for me to pick up. It was one Friday night when we were out doing street ministry and I was sharing Jesus with a certain gentleman when all of a sudden I heard this still or sweet small voice, and she was speaking confidently and doctrinally soundly, answering this man's questions. And I turned over and I saw the most beautiful, and I would come to find out the most remarkable woman I had ever seen. Her name was Susan. Little did I know that she would become the greatest blessing that God would ever put in my life and an integral part of the plan he had for me. That 33 years later, we would still be hitting the streets together, preaching Jesus and sharing his love with whomever and wherever he would take us. See, it may have looked like there was no plan. It may have looked like I had a little, but the truth was I was living in abundance, and God was working into my life everything I needed to fulfill his plans and his purpose in my life. Don't be discouraged today if you don't have a blueprint. Just make sure you're eating daily bread. There's another thing God wants to reveal to us about heavenly bread, and that is it must be gathered daily. And I'm not saying you need to get saved daily, but I am saying you need to eat daily. Have you ever thought to yourself, why is it that I'm sitting here on Sunday and I'm worshiping and I'm being blessed by God? I'm hearing the word. My soul could not be more full. And then you wake up Monday morning with a heart like the Grinch who stole Christmas, two sizes too small. The answer is simple. You need daily bread. So how is it that we gather this daily bread? How do we truly feed on Jesus? You know, typically this might be the place where you get a list of spiritual disciplines. You know, read your Bible, pray, worship, be in fellowship, all of which should be an integral part of the Christian's life. But the truth is, these are really things that are evidences of somebody who has actually learned to feed on Jesus already. See, feeding on Jesus starts with something far more intimate, far more soul-consuming than spiritual disciplines. In a phrase, to feed on Jesus is the practice of setting our love upon Him. What does that mean? It's a decision with all of your heart to say, God, this day I choose you. I choose to love you with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength, that no matter what this day brings, good or bad, whatever trials or temptation, whether I have a little or a lot, nothing will quench the love that I have for you. My love for you will shape every action and dictate every response that I have today. If you wonder where I came up with the phrase to set your love upon Him, you won't be surprised that I found it in the Bible. Psalms 91. And if you know about Psalms 91, the whole psalm is about the joy of living in God's presence. Experiencing His provision, experiencing His protection. But it really all culminates. It comes to a crescendo in verse 14 where we see how is it that we really move in under that blessing? How do we really move into His presence and His protection? Verse 14, because He has set His love upon me, therefore I will deliver Him. I will set Him on high because He has known my name. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. See, feeding on Jesus, gathering daily bread isn't complicated, burdensome, or hyper-spiritual. We don't need to put our minds in a circle trying to figure out what are the five keys to abundant living. Finding true life in God, eating daily bread, always comes down to the same thing that it has from the dawn of creation, and that is, will I choose to set my love upon God today? And how do I know if I've set my love upon Him? Would I choose God if He never did another thing for me? If God was my only reward, would I still overwhelmingly choose Him? If everything in my life was falling apart, would I cling to Him or would I blame Him? Can I say in an honest and sincere heart, you can have the whole world, just give me Jesus? To say with Habakkuk, even though the fig trees have no blossoms and there are no grapes on the vines, even though the olive crop fails and fields lie empty and barren, even though the flocks die in the fields and the cattle barns are empty, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in the God of my salvation. The sovereign Lord is my strength. Now again, maybe you're here today and you're hearing this and you're as if, yes, I want that. I want daily bread. I want a strength in my life that I've never known, a peace and a joy and a love. But I can't say today that my love is set upon Him. Well, here's the good news. This is still the day of salvation. Don't be discouraged about where your heart is. Pray for God to change your heart. See, going back to the beginning where I said, if we pray according to His will, He hears us. Well, it's His will for you to love Him. Amen. And if in a sincere heart, you can go before God and say, God, I ought to, I should, I want to, but I don't love you like I should. I promise you that he will work in your heart, that he will create that life and that love. See, that's what praying for daily bread is all about. It's praying that he would give you a hunger and a thirst, a desire for him and his presence that would drown everything else out. If we will just pray, God, give us this day our daily bread, he will change our heart and this love can be a reality in our life. There's one other way we feast on daily bread that I want to touch on today. You know, there's not many things in the church that have been more misrepresented or misunderstood than our service for God. Let me be clear. The work of God, serving Jesus and our neighbor in whatever way, shape, or form that he may direct us, was never intended to be a burden. God does not give us his work so that we can try to earn his favor, somehow try to get him to love us more. Doing God's will, serving Jesus inside and outside of the church, however he would lead us, always had one intention, and that was to be our daily bread. Jesus could not have made this more clear than he did in John chapter 4. And before we read that, let me lay the background. Jesus had come to Samaria and his disciples were hungry, so they hit five guys down the road. Jesus stayed at the well to rest. But while he was resting, there was a woman who had five husbands and was all kinds of messed up. So Jesus forgot about the nap and decided he was going to minister life to this woman. And because he ministered life to this woman, not only was her life changed forever, but the whole region was changed forever. And the disciples then show up and they say, Rabbi, eat something. But Jesus said to them, I have food to eat you know nothing about. Then his disciples said to each other, could someone have brought him food? My food, said Jesus, is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. See, Jesus says, I have a food. I have a source of provision you know nothing about. See, the world will tell you it's about how you can feed yourself. Get all the gusto you can. But God says the real bread of life is when you take his life and begin to serve others with it. That doing his work, sharing his love and his life to those who need it most is truly heavenly bread and the most fulfilling thing you will ever do this side of heaven. This is not a shameless plug for outreach and evangelism ministry here at Vision Church, but during one recent event we had, there was a beautiful illustration of what this can look like. Toward the end of the event, there's a volunteer and I were talking about the day and how things had gone. And I had noticed all during the day just how she was having just such an amazing time, how she was just loving on people, serving the kids. She'd even had a chance to minister to a woman who had just recently found out that she had thyroid cancer and didn't have insurance. She was just being life. And she looked at me and she said, with this heavenly glow on her face, I would literally rather not be anywhere else in the world than being here right now, doing what I'm doing right here in this place. That is the bread of heaven. That is finding ourselves, serving others, being where God would have us be, bringing life. And listen, we can make it very complicated as far as the work of God for our lives. So let me simplify it and identify God's work for each of us today. Who is standing in front of you? Don't make it over spiritual. It may be your child. It may be an elderly parent. It may be a friend, a neighbor, a coworker, or a stranger. But if it's a living, breathing person in front of you, someone who needs the love of God and a touch from Jesus, then it's most likely the manna that God is giving you today. See, we can get so caught up as Christians trying to find our ministry when the manna of God is oftentimes right in front of us. Would we pray, give us this day our daily bread? God, give us an opportunity. Help me see the people who are in front of me that need a touch, that need your life. And I promise you, you will find that more rewarding than anything you could ever grab for yourself. God, give us this day our daily bread. So we're going to pray. And maybe you're here today, and if the prayer team could come up, maybe you're here today and you've never tasted of this heavenly bread. Well, let me tell you, today is the day of salvation. Today is the day for you to taste that life, that love, that joy, that peace that Jesus has for you. So if that's you today, I want to invite you to pray with me. God, we need you. We need your daily bread, God. God, I ask that you would forgive me of my sins, that you would forgive me for chasing other things that are less than you, and that today, God, you would forgive me, that you would come into my life, that you would save me, and God, that you would fill me with this daily bread. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to open the altars. I don't know where your heart's at. I don't know if yesterday's been robbing you or tomorrow's been stealing from you. I don't know where your heart is. But if you want to get fed, I invite you as we worship to come to the banqueting table. And if you need prayer, we have prayer warriors here to pray with you. But don't let this day go by without tasting of his goodness and sharing all that God has for you. Amen.